the Holy Supper service mean to us? I mean, we do this every couple of months. God forbid it becomes a ritual. Hope it doesn't become habitual in any way. But what does the Holy Supper service mean to us? Why do we do this every couple of months? What's going on about it? Has it become a formality? Or is it the reality that we owe everything to Jesus? This morning I would like to speak about our appreciation for the sufferings and the sacrifice of Jesus. Do our lives show genuine appreciation for his sufferings and sacrifice, the price he paid to spare us an eternity in hell? I know I say this from time to time, I mention hell, but let's bring it down to Main Street and tell it like it is. He's sparing us an eternity in hell. Are we sincerely grateful for all Jesus' sufferings and sacrifice on the cross? How serious are we about our service to him? Does the setting of our priorities in life show an appreciation for the sufferings and sacrifice of Jesus? Have we become lukewarm in our service and commitment to him? God forbid. What was the price that Jesus paid to buy our souls? Isaiah 50 verse 6 states, I offer my back to those who beat me, the scourging, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. Dylan's here this morning. He will know what that could feel like. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. The Son of God spit in the face. The Son of God allowed man to spit on him. If someone spit in our face, how would we react? Jesus took it. The Creator allowed man, his creation, to spit in his face. He allowed man to pull out his beard, causing great pain and his face to bleed. And I could imagine the swelling from pulling out the beard. I know this sounds gross, but we have to mention it. Jesus healed many sick, but no one put bandages on his wounds. They were left open to get infected. Who knows the fever that Jesus had from infection when he was on the cross? Isaiah 52 verse 14, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. I know it sounds gross, but this is in the Bible. The one who created and formed man and gave him facial features didn't even look human anymore. We could open our Bibles to Isaiah 53, and we're going to read verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, beginning of verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't born with a halo around his head like you see on some Christmas cards. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Here it comes. He is despised and rejected of men, Son of God, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. There was no justice in his trial. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. For your and my transgression he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 11 says, he shall bear their iniquities. Do we have gratitude for him this morning? In song, he is known as a man of sorrows, tears, and agony, Son of God. Jesus comes to earth to die for the salvation of man. And how does man react to this? Man despises him, rejects him, spits in his face, slaps him, brutally beats him, condemns him to death, and kills him. You know, men have one shot at judging God. And what does man do? Condemns him to death. How awful is that? Speaking of Jesus, someone once said, he came to pay a debt he didn't owe. Because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Can we be eternally grateful to Jesus this morning? How could we ever pay for the debt of our sins? No way possible. Only Jesus could and did pay it. As the hymn at the cross states, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree, beyond measure. The pity, the grace, the love of God shown through Jesus' suffering cannot be measured or even imagined. Jesus allowed man to judge him, and man condemned the Son of God to death. There was no justice in Jesus' trial. A murderer, Barabbas, was released instead of him. He allowed Roman soldiers to beat him until his back became a mass of torn tissue and until he bled profusely. Now consider this. The blood pressure in your arteries is 6 times greater than it is in your veins. And your arteries are closer to the skin than your veins are. So when Jesus bled, he bled profusely. His arteries broke open. Blood pressure is 6 times higher in the arteries than in the veins. He bled profusely. It's possible that some of his teeth were knocked out during the scourging. I'm sure that the Roman soldiers didn't care where they struck Jesus. He was brutally beaten so that we could receive healing. Do you think anyone could have come forward this morning for healing if Jesus wasn't beaten? No, you couldn't. The one who created humanity allowed the man to brutally beat him until his body was torn open. He who formed the hand allowed man to slap him in the face. The one who created the tongue that should be used to worship him is now subjected to hate-filled mocking and scorn. Jesus came with the message of love and hope and redemption and forgiveness, but he allows himself to be mocked by foul-mouthed men. He allowed man to forcefully put the crown of thorns on his head. The one who was called King of Kings had a crown of thorns on his head. He who created blood and knowing how necessary it is for life allowed himself to bleed profusely. The one who created the nervous system allows himself to experience pain so intense and so extreme that his body contorted in agony. He allowed man to nail him to a tree that he created. Viewing the crucifixion, we see that the hands which created the vastness of outer space and held stars were crucified. Held stars, planets in his hands, co-creator, those same hands were crucified for us. He who was timeless and holds time in his hands permitted a 6-hour period in his life when he would experience extreme, brutal, intense suffering and agony. Jesus was innocent, but died like a criminal. Jesus could have stopped all his sufferings. He could have called just one of the many thousands of angels who worship him to destroy all those who are inflicting his pain and suffering. But he didn't even allow one angel to help him. And it would have only taken one angel to destroy those who crucified him and those who are inflicting the pain. But he wouldn't allow even one angel to help him. They were waiting there at the foot of the cross. They were there. He wouldn't allow them to help him. They were watching in agony and horror. He wouldn't allow them to help him. At this time, I would also like to speak about, and I'm going to connect it with the help of the Holy Spirit, the church in Laodicea. As we know, Laodicea was a banking center and rich. It was also known for its production of black wool and eye salve. In its history, around the year 60 AD, Laodicea was damaged by a serious earthquake. The Roman Emperor Nero wanted to help, but the city of Laodicea refused, stating that they were rich. They told the emperor to keep the money, saying they didn't need anything. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verses 14. We're going to read 14 to 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, he, he, if any, one hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Note the parallels. The church in Laodicea was lukewarm, like the water in the city that was not good, and the water, that water made people nauseous. These people said they were rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. Laodicea was a banking center and told the Emperor Nero that they have need, that they didn't need money. The Lord advised the people of this church to buy eye salve to put on their eyes. The Laodiceans were known for their production of eye salve. See how Jesus drew on parallels? In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said that the church of the Laodiceans was lukewarm. They had a superficial faith. And Jesus was warning against such a condition. This morning, we need to ask ourselves, have we become lukewarm in our service to the Lord? And do we really appreciate the sufferings and sacrifice of Jesus? Would the Lord consider our faith superficial? Or can he say that we sincerely appreciate the price that he paid for our redemption? What priority do we place on our commitment to him? Do we live our lives in appreciation for what Jesus has done for us at the cross? Or have we become lukewarm in our service to him? This church was caught up in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that Jesus spoke about. Have the cares of this world choked out the time and the effort that we should be giving to the Lord? Have the cares of this world become more prominent in our lives than the sacrifice of Jesus? This morning we need to ask ourselves, what attention and gratitude do we have for the price that Jesus paid for our salvation? This church of the Laodiceans has a lukewarm Christianity. Do we have a lukewarm Christianity, or do we sincerely appreciate who Jesus is and his sacrifice for us? Rather than being in a lukewarm condition, we want to show Jesus appreciation and love for his sacrifice. The Lord saw this church very different than how they saw themselves. The people of this church thought that they were rich and in need of nothing. But Jesus said that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. A person could have wealth but be poor spiritually. The people of this church were blind to their real condition. As bad as was the condition of this church, Jesus had the remedy. He always has the remedy. He has a remedy for whatever condition we may be in, physically or spiritually. The words of the Lord to this church may seem harsh, but he, as the great Redeemer, wanted to restore their condition. The Lord did not speak these words to tear this church apart. No. This message was given with the hope, with the love and hope of restoration. Revelation, verse 19 of what we read states, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Jesus wanted these people to repent of their lukewarm condition. Jesus wanted to make them rich with gold tried in the fire. That is a description of a strong, unwavering faith in him. Faith in the Lord as opposed to trusting in material wealth. The Lord wanted to cover their naked, sinful condition with white garments. White garments to reflect, refer to the righteousness of Jesus as opposed to self-righteousness of this church of the Laodiceans. The Lord wanted to anoint their eyes with eye salve so that they could see properly. He wanted to give them a clear spiritual vision. They couldn't see their condition. The people of the church of the Laodiceans could not see what or who is important in life. They were blinded by material wealth and the cares of the values of this world. They were blinded by the cares and the values of this world. Are we living with Christ's approved values or values of this world? Are our values the same as in our Bibles? Are our values in line with what Jesus taught in the Gospels? Or have our values become tainted by worldly values? Have we become lukewarm, as evidenced by our values? Do our values show appreciation for the sacrifice and the love of Jesus? We need to examine ourselves this morning. These people have lost their heavenly vision. We need our eyes anointed this morning so that we can have a clearer vision and revelation of Jesus, so that he can be our top, most important priority in life, so that we can be more seriously committed to him and his will and direction for our lives. Do our focus and priorities have to be reset this morning? Can we see, do we know that Jesus is most important in our lives and that there is no substitute for him? Who else died for your eternal salvation, for my eternal salvation? There's no substitute for him. Is Jesus at the center of our priorities and values? We need to ask the Lord to anoint our eyes this morning. Verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." These words show that Jesus was outside this church and not in it. What a sad condition. We always want Jesus inside our church, inside this church, and in our lives. This is why we always need to pray before each service that the Holy Spirit takes over and has complete control of the service. Dennis Fisher, who writes for our Daily Bread publication, wrote, "Wherever we are and whatever we're doing, God wants to be part of it." What a privilege we have that God wants to be part of whatever we are doing and wherever we are. He wants to be part of it. That's wonderful. The words "will sup with him" are a reference to having communion with Jesus, who will greatly enrich our lives. Verse 22, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Now let's define hearing in the Bible. It's more than just with the ears. Hearing in the Bible means not only to physically hear, but also to listen well, to understand, and to obey. The Lord wants us to hear his voice this morning. He is calling us out of a lukewarm condition that we may be in. He is calling us to examine our values. He is calling us out of spiritual poverty that may exist. The Lord is calling our attention to his sufferings and death for us this morning. Do we sincerely appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus this morning? And is this appreciation shown by our level of commitment and dedication to Jesus? Do we need to repent of a lukewarm condition and the lack of gratitude? This morning, we don't want to be lukewarm or ungrateful. We need to ask Jesus to deliver us from such a condition. Rather than lukewarm, we want to be seriously dedicated and grateful to Jesus. The fourth verse of the hymn, Just As I Am, states, Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee I find. O Lamb of God, I come. We're going to be coming before the Lord at his holy table this morning. Even if it's in your seats, in spirit, you are coming to this holy table. When we are taking the Holy Supper this morning, maybe we need to repent of not appreciating the sacrifice of Jesus as shown by lukewarm Christianity. Not appreciating the sacrifice of Jesus as shown by the lack of a true commitment to him. Not appreciating the sacrifice of Jesus by the lack of seriousness in our service and dedication to him. This morning we want to repent before the Lord and have a clearer vision of his suffering and the price that he paid for our salvation.